Folks at Quincy Asian Resources recently received some grants to promote green energy and environmental programs, so we are here to talk about those today with Rocky Chan from Quincy Asian Resources and Anna Vanderspeck from the Green Energy Consumers Alliance. So welcome to both of you. Thanks for joining us. Appreciate it.
Thank you for inviting.
Very pleasure. Rocky, when I first found out that Quarry received grants, I said, okay, who did the grants come from? How much were they for? And what are they for?
Sure, I will pass it to Anna first. She can give you more background on the grant awarding and who is funding this great project.
Okay, over to you, Anna.
Thanks. So we received a grant through the Massachusetts Clean Energy Center's Act for All program. So MassCEC is a quasi-state agency, and the funding comes through them and also the Department of Energy Resources. And they put out an RFP to support lots of different projects that would bring the benefits of electric transportation to more communities across the Commonwealth. So we applied to do an education and awareness campaign and got funding through that.
Okay. Why did you select Quarry to receive the grants?
Because they're great.
Okay.
the target of, and I should be clear, we chose each other here. This was not a, okay. We chose Quarry, but okay. The grant was specifically asking for projects that would increase education and awareness for communities that aren't usually the first target for EV advertising. Mm. In the language of the grant, it was to reach specific priority populations that aren't your typical first adopters for new clean energy technology. Okay. So, from Green Energy Consumers' perspective, we were looking for an organization that was really grounded in a community and was interested, that was really crucial to us, to talk about clean energy technologies with us.
Okay.
And we found Quarry, and mm-hmm. we're very happy we did. And we're just at the beginning now of actually doing our work together, but we're excited to start.
How much was the grant for?
The grant is for $314,000.
Wow, okay.
It's for a 2-year education and awareness campaign that has lots of different facets. So we'll do lots of events and have a web presence and lots of other things that we still have to figure out.
Yeah, I know there's already a couple of events you had on Earth Day, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right
we did.
Quincy High School, yeah, some EV vehicles some folks enjoying themselves and learning a little bit at the same time.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. And it was great to partner with Green Energy because, again, it's overlooked.
Mm.
The immigrant community is overlooked in regards to electric vehicles, and they're not aware about some of the savings, or they've heard myths or misinformation about buying a electric vehicle, especially since there's a lot of gig drivers, small business owners.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how much are they aware of the benefits of buying an electric vehicle. There's a lot of cost savings there.
Why do you think that is, Rocky? Why do you think they're overlooked?
The greatest one is cost.
Okay.
And also the brand has been dominated by Tesla. And even though I love Tesla, there are other electric vehicles out there that are...
Well, the Prius was way before Tesla.
Prius is different, though. Prius is still a hybrid car.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay.
Right?
So you're talking totally electric.
Totally electric. Okay. Like the Chevy Bolt, the Tesla's models, S, Model 3. I'm looking at the Nissan Ariya, I believe that's how they pronounce it. That's
okay.
Coming out in 2023.
Okay.
And this is not a plug for any of these cars.
Yeah, no, right. Yeah.
But especially...
I think that's important, though, to distinguish between hybrid and electric, because even I didn't know there was, you know, I just think hybrid is an electric vehicle, but it runs on both gasoline and battery, right?
Yeah, for Prius, the hybrids run on battery and gas.
Yeah.
It's 50-50.
Okay.
An electric vehicle would be considered 100% on a battery, or a battery with a backup or a small gas-powered engine.
Okay.
So I'll jump in here to say that there's traditional hybrids, there's plug-in hybrids, and there's battery electric vehicles.
No wonder why people are confused.
People are confused.
Yeah.
We're talking about anything with a plug. So
okay.
If you can plug in the vehicle to charge up the battery, we're considering that electric.
Okay, all right. Are there any truly electric vehicles that don't have any kind of combustion engine whatsoever?
There are tons.
There are.
There's a lot more than people realize, and that's part of the education that we want to do. That
obviously, I need some education.
Yeah.
Okay,
well,
yeah.
We can talk through some models.
Yeah.
But a lot of people think pure electric Tesla, and that's where the conversation ends.
Yeah.
But there are tons of more models that are available now, okay, and also coming out, like the Nissan Ariya, that get well over 200 and now even 300 miles per charge that, okay, people just don't know about.
Yeah.
So we want to make sure that those are visible and more accessible.
Because to Rocky's point, the Teslas are extremely expensive. I mean, I think they start at $50,000 just for a base model, so that's out of reach for a lot of people.
And it is out of reach because with the federal tax rebate, I believe, if you buy a car that's over $51,000, you don't qualify.
Oh, okay.
It's the, so it, another place where this gets complicated, yeah, it's the state rebate that if the final sales price is over $50,000, you don't qualify, and that's so that the limited public dollars go to people who are buying vehicles where the state rebate might actually make a difference. If you're buying a luxury vehicle, you don't need the state's help. The federal tax credit phases out once a manufacturer has sold a certain number of units, so it's not available for Tesla anymore, but it is available for Nissan and Toyota,
okay,
and the other makers.
Which would be probably more available to the mass markets, mm-hmm, because of the lower cost, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. We should, Anna, have you explain a little bit of what the Green Energy Consumers,
yeah,
Alliance is.
Happy to.
Yeah.
So we are a nonprofit organization. We were founded in the 80s in Boston when heating oil prices were really high, and neighbors got together and said, if we band together as a group, we can negotiate a lower price per gallon from local oil dealers. And so for a long time, we were known as the Boston Heating Oil Consumer Consortium or something along those,
okay,
lines. That's before my time.
Okay.
But we've basically taken that model of aggregating consumers to do something good on energy to renewable energy and solar and heat pumps and now electric cars. So our mission is to harness the power of energy consumers to speed the transition to a low carbon future, which is a lot of syllables,
yeah,
but basically we run a series of programs and services that help people access clean energy technologies. And then we take what we learn by actually interacting with real people who are trying to get a car or a heat pump or whatever it is to inform the advocacy work that we do at the state level.
Okay.
So we've been running an electric vehicle program called Drive Green since 2016, which on the one hand just does a ton of consumer education because there is still so much confusion. So we have webinars and ride and drives and EV showcases and virtual coffee hours and lots of ways for people to just learn more about the cars. And then we also maintain a network of dealers across Massachusetts and Rhode Island who in normal times would offer fixed discounts on electric cars for people who come through our program. Right now the car market is so weird that you're lucky if you can get a card for MSRP, but we still have a way to actually connect with dealerships that have electric vehicles in stock, have people in the showroom who know how to talk about them.
Right.
So we can really just make that whole purchasing process easier.
Okay. Are you seeing, I mean, we're even seeing large full-size pickup trucks, manufacturers now coming out with fully electric vehicles. Do you think this is the wave of the future?
I think electric is definitely the wave,
really,
of the future. It's really easy to think about the car market as like, what do I see at my local car dealership?
Mm.
But it's a market that is so influenced by global, mm-hmm, movement. So Europe has set really stringent vehicle standards, and electric vehicles are taking off in China as well. And those are huge, huge markets that are influencing manufacturers. So you might have seen in the news recently, manufacturer after manufacturer is setting goals and saying after this year we will only produce battery electric vehicles.
Yes, I think Volvo has already done that, actually.
Yeah, right? A lot of them have.
I
can't keep them in my brain because so many of them have. But Volvo has, GM has. And if you also just look at the amount of investment that car makers are making in building out battery factories in the United States as well, that capital investment is a really clear indication of where they see the market going.
Right. Yeah, they wouldn't spend that money if they didn't think there was a market for it.
Mm-hmm. So it's definitely, a pure battery electric vehicle is better for consumers because the fuel costs are lower, the maintenance costs are lower, it accelerates quickly, it's quiet, it's comfortable, it's just a better product.
Mm.
And we just have to get as a society, accelerate that transition fast enough for what our climate change really demands.
Yeah.
But it's one of those places where the transition is actually good for people.
But now, devil's advocate here,
mm-hmm,
you can argue that the electricity is produced by fossil fuels.
You can, however.
Yes, I'm going to let you respond to that. Because I'm sure you hear it all the time.
Of course.
Yeah.
our electric grid is actually a lot cleaner than most people realize, and it is getting cleaner all the time.
When you say our, you mean in this country?
I mean in this country, okay. But I also mean New England specifically.
Okay.
So the first thing to know is that gas-powered cars are ridiculously inefficient. They waste about 80% of the energy in every gallon of gasoline.
Wow.
That's just going to friction and heat. And electric vehicles are closer to 60, 70, 80% efficient, so they're wasting much less of the energy that you put in. And then the energy that you put in, we can make cleaner. So right now, if you switch from a gas-powered car to a battery electric car and you plug it in the grid in New England, you're cutting your greenhouse gas emissions by about 75%.
Wow.
And that's according to data from the Union of Concerned Scientists. And because we have state laws that every year require more renewable energy to be added to our electric grid,
right.
Those emissions are just going to go down over time.
Okay, all right. So it's a process.
It's a process, yeah. But it makes a huge difference right now in terms of climate change, but also in terms of the local air pollution, that everybody's been realizing more and more how much that actually impacts people's health with COVID, that all the particulate matter, NOx and SOx emissions that create ground level ozone, all of those come down as we electrify.
Now, another concern that I'm sure you've been, talked about is, what if my electric vehicle runs out of charge and I'm out in the middle of nowhere?
Yeah.
Right? I'm sure that's a concern.
Of course. I feel like I'm just walking through one of our EV 101 webinars. It's great.
Well, it's great for people watching, I think, to hear these explanations.
I hope so.
Yeah.
So the way we like to answer this question is, first, the manufacturers know that this is your biggest fear,
yes.
So they have really invested in really sophisticated battery management software. So when you're driving on the dashboard, it will always tell you how many miles of range you have left, and it'll take
it's
into
like your fuel gauge, right?
Yeah, but it takes into account, for example, are you speeding on the highway and therefore being pretty inefficient?
Mm-hmm.
Did you just turn on the heat or the air conditioning? Are you driving uphill? It takes all of that into account to adjust at all times. So you're never going to suddenly realize that you only have 5 miles of range left.
Okay.
And the other point is that there's a lot more public charging than people realize. It doesn't look like a traditional gas station. Instead of having big signs on the side of the highway, you can pull up an app and you can find charging all over the state. And that charging network is only going to expand with all the federal investment, but also state investment and investment from our electric utilities. So there will be more and more charging all the time.
Argument number three.
Ready?
I can go to the gas station now, fill up in 5 minutes, and be on my way.
Yes.
It takes longer to charge up my electric car.
It does, but the favorite way to answer this question comes from one of our EV ambassadors, somebody who has an actual electric car and who was asked this question once, and they were like, it takes me 2 seconds to charge my electric car. Because for them, their experience is come home at the end of the day, plug in the car, and go about their life, and the next morning, unplug the car, and that's all they need to do. Now, granted, that is, they are able to do that because they can charge at home and not everybody can.
Right.
So if you're able to charge at home, it's way more convenient than having to go to the gas station because it just charges while you're doing other things.
Yeah.
And you don't have to stand next to a smelly gas pump and, worry about COVID and on handles and things like that. For folks who live in apartments and condos, it does get a little bit more complicated. There is a lot of help coming. The electric utilities know this is an issue, and so they're building out incentive programs to help build out charging. But there's a lot more public charging that is fast than people realize too. So you can charge at supermarkets and malls and gyms and lots of places where your car might be parked for a couple hours anyway. And then there are the super high powered DC fast charging stations where you can get 80% of the battery in half an hour. So there are ways to do it even if you live in an apartment or condo.
Okay, here in Quincy I know the new parking garage at Kilroy Square has some electric vehicle charging stations that were as part of that new project, so some public garages probably have as well.
I know that Quincy has also been awarded funding to install DC fast charging stations that are those super high powered ones through a recent round of funding from the state. So I don't know exactly where those will be in Quincy, but those are coming too.
Okay. For charging at home on a can you just, just plug into a regular wall outlet, or do you need like a special system?
You can, actually.
You can.
So when you purchase a vehicle, it comes with a cord that you can plug into a normal 120-volt outlet. That'll add about 4 miles of range per hour spent charging.
Okay.
It's called a trickle charge because it's the slowest type, but it's actually enough for a lot of people. So if you drive like 40 miles a day mm-hmm. and you can charge overnight, you can just plug in for 10 hours and replenish what you've used. Otherwise, you can purchase what's called a level 2 charging unit. You just need basically a unit that you can get online or at a home improvement store.
Oh.
And then you hook it up with the help of an electrician to a 240 volt outlet. And then that will add somewhere around 20 to 30 miles of range per hour spent charging, so you can just charge faster.
Okay. How much do those cost?
Those cost depends on how many bells and whistles you
yeah.
want, and it also depends on if you need to lay a new 240 volt line somewhere in your home. If you have an existing outlet, it'll cost a couple $100. If you have to lay a new line, it can cost more. We surveyed our members, and it was around $1,000 on average, but there is hopefully support coming. The electric utilities are waiting for the Department of Public Utilities to rule on whether they can help subsidize that cost for consumers.
Mm.
We really hope that they do, but there's other incentives. There was a federal tax credit for a while to bring that down, but the really key point to drive home is that it's cheaper to drive electricity on electricity on a total cost of ownership basis because fuel costs and maintenance are so much lower.
Okay.
So it is unfortunate that there's that additional upfront cost, but the state rebate in Massachusetts is $2,500, so that should more than cover that.
Okay. With the current spike in energy prices, is this just going to kind of accelerate, do you think, the switch toward electric vehicles? Yes.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think seeing the volatility of gas prices and the fact that we have so little control over them, these are global influences causing that spike. I think people are realizing that electricity is a much stabler fuel in terms of cost, and also just seeing how much lower it is right now compared to gas. I think we've gotten lots more people going, oh, wait a minute, electric cars, like, tell me about that.
Okay.
So,
all right.
I think so.
Rocky, how does Quarry plan to reach out to the immigrant community here in Quincy and on the South Shore?
So our role would be to be the bridge to make the connections to the immigrant community,
yeah.
especially to gig drivers and to families who do drive often and locally. So we've been doing outreach through our different programs that we offer at Quarry, as well as events and tabling opportunities around Quincy and the South Shore.
Mm.
Currently, because our official kickoff is in July, we are collecting data, getting feedback and thoughts from the immigrant community about what they know about the electric vehicles and what are some of the obstacles for them.
Okay.
But that is pretty much our primary role and in this partnership.
What's the initial response that you're hearing from folks that you've talked to so far?
Has been very positive.
Yeah.
Some of the data that we have gotten back was they have thought it was outside their price range. Also, questions about the battery and how long does it last? How do they charge? So
the basics, right?
Yeah, pretty much the basics. Pretty much what Anna has explained so far. So what we're doing is we're going to be planning with Green Energy different events, different opportunities for the immigrant community to look, maybe even test drive electric vehicles, to come to workshops where they can have their questions answered and to learn more so they can make good decisions on their next car purchase.
Do you have a goal for, like, say, the end of the 2-year grant? Do you have a goal for how many, I don't know, vehicles you'd like people to purchase, or how do you kind of judge success?
So success would be how far the outreach has accomplished.
Okay.
In regards to purchasing a vehicle, because of the supply chain issue.
Oh yeah.
And also, there's a lot of people don't know there's a microchip issue from Southeast Asia, like Malaysia.
Mm-hmm.
Car manufacturers are running into a situation where they can't produce the vehicles because of that chip shortage.
That's why they're so expensive right now, traditional vehicles.
So it's going to be about outreach and education. How many people do we get having contact with to bring awareness, and then how many people have expressed interest in purchasing a vehicle.
I'm assuming you'll be working in the schools. The best way to get a message to the family is through young people, right?
Yep. Yeah. So we have different partnerships. So Green Energy and Quarry has partnerships with some local driving schools, local dealerships. So we're getting the word out mainly to the families.
Okay.
With the youth, it would be more like electric bikes, electric scooters. If they have applied for their driver's license, we would talk to them about electric vehicles and to persuade or present the information to their parents to see if they're interested in getting an EV.
Okay. So you really, it's all about education and answering these questions, and the more you can answer them, probably the better off the message will get across more clearly. If folks that are, you know, talking about this every day, like myself, don't really fully understand it, I can imagine somebody just coming into it for the first time, you know, is completely blindsided.
Yeah, with the surveys that we've been collecting and talking to the immigrant community, it has been positive. They have a lot of questions, but they support the electric vehicle drive in the country. They just don't know, or they don't have enough information for them to see if it's a good fit for them to buy one.
We're even seeing, well, the MBTA is investing now in electric buses. I'm assuming that maybe some school departments will start to look at electric school buses. I've heard reports about electric airplanes and cruise ships, you know, 18-wheelers. So it's coming.
It's coming.
Yeah, it's just a matter of time. What is Quarry's relationship with Mass Save here in Massachusetts, Rocky?
Mass Save, we were invited by other Quarry partners, like the City of Quincy, to apply for the Mass Save.
Okay.
That grant is separate from the Green Energy.
Oh, it is. Okay.
With Green Energy. And Mass Save is to, again, bring awareness and education to the hard-to-reach community, like the immigrant community, with the language barrier. A lot of people don't know that we put money into the Mass Save in our electric bill.
Yes.
There's a little line item there where you could pay up to $2 on each month's electricity bill. And that money goes to the Mass Save program, where you can invite a Mass Save company to do a free energy audit to your home. They will come and look at your lights, your circuit breaker, your windows. They will come maybe with a heat gun? No. A
thermostat. Infrared.
Infrared gun. To see where the insulation is in your house. Yep. And then they'll print out a report with suggestions of how you can save energy. How you can save energy cost by, say, replacing your windows, having insulation blown in your in those walls. Also, they'll come with LED light bulbs and power strips, and they'll give them to you for free, as well as other recommendations. I've personally used them, three times?
Right, it's not just a one and done.
Yeah, you are limited to how many times, but I've owned my house for about 20 years, and I've used them three times to come and to see where I can save. Because a lot of the houses in New England, especially in Quincy, they were built in early 1900s.
Yes.
You know, and my house is 1890.
There you go,
I had no insulation in my exterior walls.
Single pane windows.
And the basement was not insulated.
Right.
So that's what the Mass Save does. And again, it's to bring awareness and help bring equity by destroying that language barrier. We will go out with the Mass Save representatives to provide language support.
Yes.
We'll do outreach and education.
Yep. It's all about education. Anything else we should touch on right now, do you think, about green energy or about electric vehicles or about Quarry's efforts to promote this?
I just wanted to mention that we've talked a lot about electric vehicles, and that's absolutely a key part of this partnership, but also addressing climate change.
Yeah.
But as Rocky mentioned, talking about scooters and bikes, there's a lot of ways to clean up transportation in terms of emissions that we want to incorporate into this. And one particularly exciting thing is the MBTA building that bus barn in Quincy.
Yes.
So the first new bus barn to house electric buses will be in Quincy. So we're going to try and really incorporate all of this into we have to clean up transportation because of climate change and public health, and there's so many options to do that, whether that's walking, biking, electric scooters, electric cars, transit, electric transit, that all of that is part of the messaging. So I think that's really exciting that that just happens to be happening in Quincy, where we're going to be doing this work. But it's a really full picture, like paradigm shift that we're trying to communicate.
Well, is there not legislation pending on Beacon Hill with regards to clean energy?
Yes.
Yes, yeah. And you're probably an advocacy group for that.
Yes. I can talk about that if you'd like.
Sure.
Okay. So right now, the legislative session ends on July 31st.
Right.
And a couple months ago, the House passed a bill that was really focused on offshore wind and clean energy.
Yep.
And then a little bit after that, the Senate passed a much broader climate bill that talks about clean energy, but also transportation and heating. And all of this is the sort of big picture context is that last year, the Climate Roadmap Bill was passed, which updated our emissions reductions requirements. So Massachusetts is required to reduce economy-wide emissions 50% under 1990 levels by 2030. So that's a lot.
And it's not a long way off either.
It's not a long way off. So this year's effort is really, okay, we set the goal, now how are we going to meet it?
Okay.
So there is a lot of good stuff in the transportation section of the Senate climate bill. They want to make an EV adoption trust fund, basically, to fund more consumer rebates, but also to target those consumer rebates more so that they really reach people who need them to get an electric car. They want to set up a charging fund. So the EV adoption fund, they want to put $100 million in. The charging fund, they want to do $50 million. And they want to set up an interagency council so that the state can really coordinate around the build out of charging. And then there's lots of good stuff in there about electrifying the MBTA, supporting RTAs, studying
regional transit authorities,
transit authorities, supporting school districts that want to electrify their school buses, and electrifying commuter rail.
Okay.
So there's a lot of good stuff in there. There's ways that we think it could be strengthened or tweaked, but right now, basically, the House and the Senate have each nominated three legislators to join together in a conference committee, and those six people are going to spend the next couple of weeks trying to reconcile the two approaches into one bill to rule them all. So this is a really exciting time, but definitely a time that advocates will keep hammering home the key messages about what we need to do to electrify transportation in all modes and also bring down vehicle miles traveled at the same time.
Yeah. All right. How do folks learn more about Green Energy Consumers Alliance?
Yes. Yeah. You can go to greenenergyconsumers.org.
Okay.
And that will link you to the Drive Green program, as well as our advocacy work if you're interested in that.
Okay. And Rocky, for Quarry, how do folks get in touch with you?
You can get in touch with us through www.quarryusa.com, and then through our main line, 617-472-2200.
Okay. Great. Will we see you out and about in the city anytime soon, one of these?
You will. Yes? Okay. We're thinking about the Flag Day Parade.
Yes.
The longest parade in America for Flag Day.
Yes.
We are planning to have a float.
Okay.
And we're crossing our fingers to see how we can get an electric vehicle in there as well.
Okay. Great. We will look for you because we'll have that live right here on QATV. Great to talk to you both. Really appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Thank you.
Always a pleasure, Rocky.
Always.
Thank you for watching at home here on AM Quincy. I'm Joe Catalano. Please join us next time.